Hello, 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 and welcome to our premiere, very first ever episode of Down and Dirty with Idaho Bo and Vivacious Vic. I'm Bo.
I'm Vicky.
And we would just like to get this show started by first thanking a number of people. I'd like to really thank the guys at BBS Radio. They've been amazing at helping us get this show together and all the tips, and they're just great to work with. I can't thank them enough. And then, of course, I have Q to thank, because without his excitement about learning how to can and talking about herbs and spices and actually mentioning he wanted to start a program with this, and he was looking for somebody that was passionate about it, I was pick me, Q. So Q, thank you, thank you, thank you. I would like to thank my parents for instilling within me the love of nature. That is very, very, has been very important to me all of my life. And then, of course, I have a lot of friends that have been encouraging me along this path of getting this show together. And y'all know who you are. I'd like to thank the Music Life channel on YouTube for the snappy little ditty you heard at the beginning of the show. Also, my horticulture professor extraordinaire, Jack Horn. Jack, if you're still on this planet, I hope this podcast makes it to you. Without you, I would not be the gardener, canner, person that loves plants beyond. Thank you so much, Jack. And of course, I have to thank my co-host, Vivacious Vic, for saying yes to hosting with me. I love you, Vicky. Take it away.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Bo, for asking. And it's my pleasure to actually show up in a way that we can reach more people than just in our neighborhoods. I want to thank mostly my mom, because I started with her at the age of 10. And I want to thank you, and I want to thank the internet and a social networking. This is our format and our forum for spreading information and learning, helping, growing, expanding. All of those things, that's a big part of what Bo and I are interested in doing, is just expansion, knowledge, helpful knowledge in kind of a time of turmoil where there's a gazillion places to turn. So we hope that some people will turn to us and just create a community around becoming more sustainable in life, no matter what, in the soil, with food, with horticulture, with all of the different areas that daily life demands of us. So we're going to touch on a lot of those things in this presentation bi-weekly. So I hope to see us all get together in this soil.
Tell your friends, y'all. So I guess I'll introduce myself a little bit more than just telling you my name. I grew up in coastal Southern California during the mid-60s, where there were still open spaces, believe it or not, y'all. I had friends that lived on Point Doom in Malibu. They had horses, and we would ride horses, go up to the waterfalls in Santa Monica Mountains, pick wildflowers, go down to Zuma Beach. I took horseback riding lessons when you could ride horses down Western Avenue, which, if anybody's ever been to LA, is a very busy street, but you could still ride horses back then. My mom taught me the names of the flowers when I was a little girl, and I've never forgotten that. She instilled that love for me. She was born in Germany and, raised during the Nazi takeover. And so they had to have a garden, and they raised their own chickens and rabbits for food and eggs. And she learned all about using plants for medicinal purposes. And a lot of that rubbed off on me. Grew up camping a lot up in the mountains, on the beaches, and the chaparral. And sometimes I had animals and trees as best friends. Used to talk to the trees all the time, and I still do. I've been called a tree hugger more than once, and I think it's a badge of honor. Both my mom and my stepmom were extraordinary canners, and so I started canning when I was a little girl. And fast forward a number of years, I was married, living in a little cottage in Redondo Beach, and I thought, well, I'm gonna put a tomato plant in and a zucchini plant. I had to take out a lot of weeds. I had to battle a lot of big, ugly potato bugs. And I did battle actually with them. They were kind of ferocious. And the tomato and the zucchini plant gave me so much food. I was really encouraged to take it on to another step. And within a couple months, I went down to the local library, and there was a flyer for a Horticulture 101 class at the local college at night. And I was working full time. I was, like I said, I was married. I had a daughter and a stepson. So I thought, well, I could take a class at night. And that's where Jack Horn, who I mentioned earlier on in this podcast, Jack Horn was my teacher, and he was wild and crazy. And I got the fire. I just had to go through the whole course, and so I ended up getting a degree, but I didn't stop there. I grew all kinds of flowers, orchids, you name it. And you could have them out on your porch. I lived around the corner from the beach in Redondo, and then we decided to move to Idaho. And when I moved to Idaho, I'm still an avid gardener, but things were quite different here as far as how the weather was and what planting zones and planting times and frost and things I had never dealt with before. So I took a Master Gardener class through the Ada County Extension Office. And by the way, everybody, every single state has an extension office that's associated with the state university. You can take Master Gardener classes, Food Safety Advisor. That's where I learned how to preserve food, canning, dehydrating, and what have you. Anyway, I got that under my belt. I ended up moving to a little town a little south of Boise called Cuna, and I had a huge vegetable garden. And that's really when I got into the canning. I was canning up a storm. And then I met Vicky. That was a number of years after that. And Vicky and I have had many, many adventures, some of them having to do with food and some of them not. I'll give you a couple examples. We were driving up to McCall one weekend, and Vicky says, "Pull over, pull over." And we're going up the Payette River north to McCall. And I go, "What are we doing?" And she goes, "Look at all the elderberry bushes." So we harvested a ton of elderberries and proceeded to have a blast up in McCall that weekend. And then the next week, we were making elderberry syrup, which is a great immune booster. And if you have a cold, yeah, we'll talk about recipes later at some time. And then another adventure that we had that was had nothing to do with food. It was just our spirit of adventure. We went to visit an eagle nest that was on the opposite side of the bank where you could access. So we had to slide down embankments for the irrigation system. It was winter, so there was no water in them, and hike across this terrain to go visit this amazing bald eagle nest. We've just had a lot of adventures and a lot of fun. And then we've gardened together. We had a little side business called Garden Gurus, where we would teach people our knowledge, and that was on a donation basis. I ended up divorcing my husband and moving to Wales, and I gardened there and had an extraordinary adventure. The gardens were absolutely gorgeous. Was introduced to polytunnels, conservatories. I grew currants and gooseberries that were to die for. And then I moved up north in Idaho. Vicky moved to Mexico, and we both had our own adventures since then. I had a couple community garden spaces that I grew a lot of food and kept families well fed and happy. And Vicky can tell you more about her adventures in Mexico. Take it away, Vic.
Hugh, I was born and raised in the Treasure Valley here outside of Boise in Nampa, Idaho, and I was raised in Boise. And Le Bois, a French word, means the city, well, it means the trees. And this area was developed by the French that named it Le Bois. And so it is literally the city of trees. So it's an absolutely beautiful valley along the Boise River in the high desert. So we have a very diverse ecosystem here. But at the age of 10, I started gardening with my mother. And at that point, it was mostly cold frame gardening, early February and March to get the cucumbers and tomatoes going. Cold frames are amazing because you can extend the growing season and begin the growing season really early so that right when it's warm enough, you get your stuff put in. So that was my first experience with gardening, and I've never stopped. And I'm 68 years old, and I just want to be buried in a garden. I mean, it's just such a big, big part of my being on this planet, to steward the earth, to learn the systems that work in any area. I've lived in Hawaii, I've lived in Oregon, California. I've lived in several different elevations in Idaho. I've lived in Baja California for the last 5 years. And everywhere I've lived, I've been able to carve out a little patch of earth and grow food. I live in a very, very nice, very quiet neighborhood in Boise, and I've had CSA, Community Supported Agriculture, for the last several years, where I grow enough food where I can supply not only myself and my family, but two or three other families throughout the growing season with bags, fresh bags of produce, for whatever is coming out of the garden. So I really enjoy the idea of being able to help feed people. And all of my clients work full time. They don't have time to spend the amount of time it actually takes to grow a large amount of food and to maintain that, water it, fertilize it, keep the pests off of it, harvest it. I make all kinds of products, like Bo was saying. I am a voracious canner and food preservationist, mostly canning and dehydrating. So we want to share a lot of our found wisdom and experiences with the greater public so that we can all have a hand in our personal nutritious, sustainable nutrition. And we were just talking about the degradation of our food system in the United States and how critical it is to become educated on really where our food comes from and how it's grown, and anything we can do to help teach people little tiny or great big operations. So we're excited to start this program, and I thank you once again, Bo, for asking me to be part of this, because it's kind of a next step in my desire to reach a little bit bigger audience. So, thanks.
Yeah, well, we've been chatting about that quite a bit lately. I did mention the gurus of gardening a little bit ago, and we got a little bit of a crowd in your backyard teaching them how to prune apple trees and, early spring, different kinds of planting and what to plant when. And I know for me, and I know I can speak for you, Vic, one of the biggest desires of your life is to help people just in any way that you can. And I never, ever thought that I would be on a radio podcast. It never even entered my mind. Again, thank you, Q. But this is a way to reach a larger audience. And we hope that if you find anything that we teach you valuable, that you'll tell all your friends and family to come join us. It doesn't cost a thing. And we together have probably close to, how many years did we say?
I
A
started at 10,
century?
so that's 50. That's 50 years
Yeah.
on my
It's close to me, mine too. So,
Yeah.
Vicky's a little younger than me. I'll be 71.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happened, but the desire to help people, I've never had a lot of money, but I've always been able to volunteer. And so I volunteered for all kinds of different organizations because I just had that desire to help people. And so I'm very thankful that we have the opportunity to do this. Thank you, Don. Thank you, Doug. Thank you, Thomas. And should we touch on some of the things we hope to talk about in the near future? Whatever that means.
Yeah, I think if you give a little taste and flavor of some of the upcoming classes, and then I think today we wanted to start with identifying soil and the importance of soil maintenance and creating soil. We actually have the capacity to create soil. So Bo's going to give a list of some of our upcoming shows, and then we will concentrate on the very, very first step in gardening. Is where are you going to plant your garden, and what are you going to plant your garden in?
Right, so we're talking about the soil today. After all, it is get down and dirty, right? So we're going to get dirty in the soil.
Exactly.
You can wear gardening gloves if you don't want the dirt under your fingernails. Although I always joke, this time of year, I always have black fingernails. It's just
Yeah,
a thing.
that's for sure.
Yeah. So some of the things that we will be talking about, and there are m many more. I actually wrote down 24 things, and Vic goes, well, that's a whole year's worth of shows because we're bi-weekly. So I cut the list down. I do have a tendency to get a little wordy at times. Like Vicky said, the importance of soil. We're going to touch on that today, although, pun intended, you can get really deep on that one. I'm full of them. We're going to talk about vegetable garden planting requirements. There's a lot of things that needs to happen for you to have the optimum ultimate garden. So we'll get into that. Herbs and spices, how they've been used throughout history, different products you can make from different herbs and spices in your own kitchen, and we will be providing recipes and maybe even down the the road, we'll do some videos and post them on our page here on BBS, and we might even touch on some magical lore what has to do with herbs and spices. Again, Vic and I are both big food preservationists. I love to ferment food. I mean, I'm the sauerkraut queen in my family. I like to do pickles. I love fermentation, and it's actually super good for you. It's full of probiotics and what have you. But there's a lot of different ways to preserve your harvest. There's water bathing, there's pressure canning, dehydrating. So we're going to get down and dirty into that one. How to start seeds, the best timing for your seeds, when to plant them out, all those kinds of goodies. Also planning a garden, not just sticking things here and there. What's the best place to put your tomato, and where should you put your radishes and your lettuce? And then also, a lot of people are interested in fruit production. So orchard, maybe we'll get into berries. I know Vicky's got a great raspberry patch.
Golden and red. Oh my gosh.
I'm jealous,
I
but
walk around
I'm
the
coming down,
gardens.
so
I know.
they probably won't be ready when I'm there, but
No, they will not. They'll just be leafing out. They're just leafing out right now.
yeah. We're gonna talk about probably about cover crops and mulching. That's actually goes hand in hand with your soil health. Permaculture practices. Vicky didn't mention it, but she has a certificate in permaculture. And
Yes.
with that, talking about food forests and hugelkultur and a whole bunch of other goodies. I'm really big into foraging and how to do that sustainably, when, where, and it's different all over. I mean, we're in the United States, and Vicky and I are in Idaho, but where I live in Idaho is totally different than where Vicky lives. And so there, you can forage all different kinds of things in different places. And I know that we have a few people that live on the other side of the border that are listening. Hello, Mel. Hello, Teresa. Hi, Fiona. Australia and New Zealand, and then hopefully beyond that. So that's another thing. You're in a totally different season of the year. We're just going into spring, and you're just going into fall. So we'll probably be mostly talking about the Northern Hemisphere, but just flip the scene, because then you can use what we tell you now when you have your spring in a year. Anyway, there's so many more things that we're going to talk about. Those are just a few things that we'd like to cover. So, Vic, would you like to start getting down and dirty and talking about soil?
I will. I do.
You
This.
wanted to say anything else about yourself, though, first? I can see you biting at the chomping at the bit.
I'm not chomping at the bit to talk so much about myself, but a lot of that stuff will come out as we go through our different experiences. And I just spread 6 yards of dairy manure in my yard, in my beds, to amend the soil. I didn't do it last year because I had just moved back from Baja and I had an injury, so my gardening was very limited. But I really and I dug out. I have a huge compost pile that we just put everything in, and then every year we dig down into the bottom of it, and it's just this gorgeous loam that comes back out into the garden. So I'm talking about amending the soil. We live in an area where it's mostly clay, and so we want to loam up, aerate, get the clay a little bit more organic matter in it so that the roots go down deeper, they get more nutrients. So the importance of soil and soil building is number one as far as I'm concerned. The nutrients are in the soil. That's the only way you're going to get a good harvest and good tasting food, is the more appropriate nutrients the plant's getting. So we have a huge emphasis on How to start a garden. Where do you live? What kind of soil do you have? Do you need to remove sod? Or we have some other ideas on not even needing to remove sod to start a garden, which we'll touch on. We are going to, well, one of the things in the raspberry patch, I dug all of my raspberries up because it was inundated with about 5 years worth of crabgrass, which is layer upon layer upon layer of yearly growth. And I dug out all of that crabgrass by hand, replanted all the raspberries with an abundance of high nutrient dairy manure, and then the leaves from the trees that were already just there, that's all dug in. And they are just amazing right now. They look so happy. I'm very happy because they look so happy.
You're very happy.
I'm very, very happy, actually. Bo is really, really good at layer or lasagna gardening, which is what I just did in the raspberry patch. Is I laid down a whole big layer of cardboard, and then on top of that cardboard, I've mulched. Now, this is a mulching technique, but this can replace the need to dig up any soil or any grass or any weed bed. So I'm going to turn it over to Bo, and she'll talk about some of the experiences she's had with layer or lasagna gardening, which is so easy for a first-time gardener.
It is. And one of the reasons I first got into this, I actually used to subscribe to a garden magazine. I can't think of the name of it right now, but there was an article in there by a gentleman named Lee Reich. I believe that's how you pronounce his name. And he was talking about weedless gardening. And I'll tell you, Vicky mentioned cow manure. Be careful of when you get any kind of animal manure, you have to make sure it's at least hot composted for a year, because I was told it was. I got truckloads of free cow manure to put on my brand new garden. This is down in Kuna. Mentioned that a little while ago. And I had probably every weed that grows in the Treasure Valley was in my backyard, and I literally cried. And I cut down all the weeds and I put black plastic over it to solarize. That means that I killed, actually, the heat of the black plastic for a whole year killed the weed seeds. So during that winter, right before the next spring planting, I found this weedless gardening technique. That this gentleman, I'm sure he didn't develop it, but he has a book which I'm going to try and post on our page on BBS. It's called Weedless Gardening, and he suggests getting either kite cardboard or newsprint and putting it down directly on the soil. And cardboard's pretty thick. You have to make sure you don't have certain inks on it, though, because the ink on cardboard and the color ink on cardboard and on newspaper is toxic. So he suggested going to your local newspaper and purchasing the end of the newspaper roll. And they're pretty big. And I learned how to do this in my garage. I would roll out about four layers of newsprint after I had measured the length of the row, and I would put the newsprint down, and then I would put at least 4 to 6 inches of compost directly on the paper. And then I would plant directly into the compost. And then I would mulch in between the rows so I wouldn't have any weeds there. So people always go, well, how does that work? Believe it or not, roots of healthy plants are so strong, they're going to go right through the cardboard or the newsprint into the soil beneath. You don't have the weeds because when you cover up the soil, the weed seeds that are already existing there they cannot germinate, so they can't grow. And you have the mulch in between your rows too, so you don't get any weeds there. There was an occasional weed that was usually blown in from the wind, or thank you, little birdies, from a bird dropping. But it was amazing, and I had a huge harvest. I had such a huge harvest that I don't know if you read the bio or the description of our show and on the BBS page, but it says my neighbors were literally barricading their doors because I had so much food. There was no way I ended up giving a lot of it away to the food bank. But that's that type of gardening. Like I said, I'll post the link. He might even have some YouTubes, so I'll look for that. But another name for it is lasagna gardening, like Vicki mentioned. There are books called Lasagna Gardening. Yeah. Go, take it away, Vic.
Well, one thing I want to mention about the newsprint, since there's hardly any printing presses putting out newspapers now, is that if you go to a U-Haul store, they have huge boxes of newsprint, and it's not very expensive. You do need
Good
to find a
point.
store. You do need to find a source for cardboard because all the grocery stores, they sell that cardboard bundled up for recycling. But with Amazon, everybody ordering Amazon, you can get lots of cardboard now. So, I've got about 4 to 6 inches of straw on top of my cardboard in my raspberry patch. And so I'll probably just stay with that. I don't think I'm going to compost on top of that because I don't need to. I've composted where the roots are and where the plants
Yeah.
are. And but it's an amazingly easy, very, very sustainable way to start a garden. So you can do that on top of grass. You don't have to dig up grass. Just, figure out how big your garden is that you want to be and do the exact same technique on top of grass, which I have done very, very successfully here. And I mean to tell you, it's some of the most beautiful soil. And this particular one, I planted a bunch of goji berries. And I mean, and then I put the cardboard down in between the plants, and then I mulched with bark. Which is this is another real good trick. If you live in an urban area where you have tree companies that are cutting down trees, and then they have the big machine that bark chippers, they throw the branches in. You can call, in Boise anyway, you can call the tree companies and ask for a chip drop, and they will come and dump their whole truck full of chips in your driveway. And be careful, that's about 6 to 8 yards of chips, but I can use that much on my property. And what happens year after year with this, as far as building and creating soil, is as that bark deteriorates and decomposes on top of the cardboard, which eventually goes away. And then your bark chips are on top of soil. The mycelium that starts breaking down those bark chips, after a couple years, you got the most beautiful, loamy, nutrient-rich, mycelium-rich. What is mycelium? That is the fungal activation under the bark chips, which is so important as a nutrient factor in growing organic gardening. So I mean, that's one of the most successful ways of gardening. You don't need a rototiller. You don't need to dig up the soil, which does damage the soil, actually. Because if you'll notice in nature, wherever you go, The trees drop all their needles or all of their leaves on top of the dirt, and it never leaves. Nobody's there raking it up. It decomposes. And that's why when you're out in a forest, or if you're even out in the desert, there's just inches and inches of decomposed material that the plants are living off of every single season. So that's what we're trying to mimic in our gardens, on our homes, or in a, doesn't matter how big or how little you're doing this, but that's what we're trying to achieve, is creating that nutrient base that you're contributing to season after season.
So going back to when you did that technique on your lawn, the lawn actually breaks down and feeds the soil. Also, I wanted to mention a lot of people don't live in an area where they can get, a ton of cow manure or horse manure. And there is the option of going to your nursery or a big box, which I prefer not to do, but one of the big box stores, and buying bags of forest product. You'll see as they'll call it organic compost. It's forest products mostly, which again are your bark, your needles, and what have you. Now, there's been many times where I've done that, and I open up the bag, and there's all this white stuff in there. That's the mycelium. That's what
There
you
you
want.
go. There
Don't
you go.
dump it. A lot of information on mycelium now, where mycelium is actually the internet of the natural world. It can it actually trees talk to each other and communicate with each other through the mycelium in the soil. It's like a super highway. The nutrients go through it. It is really, really important. So if you are digging in your garden and you see this white, it looks kind of like the
It's like, it looks like kind of powdery wet mildew, you
yeah or
know,
like or like
kind
uh, I
of
was thinking more
white.
like not a spider web but a cobweb in the soil. It is whitish. Yeah, that's you've got gold, guys. Don't get rid of that. Don't get rid of that at all. But like Vicky said, there are other ways. And if you're starting out and you do have really clay soil and if you can't dig it, you might have to rototill, put gypsum in it, because that helps break down that clay. If you have sand, sand, everybody goes, well, it's the opposite of clay, but it doesn't hold water, it doesn't have organic material in it. So feeding your soil is feeding your plants. It is the most, it is the foundation of gardening. You have to have really good soil.
Well, one of the things about this area is there's so many different kind of ecosystems, because in the foothills, I live down in the valley. And then just 3 miles away, we start going up into the foothills. It's all sandy. And so, what do? If you have sandy soil, well, you add some clay soil, and you add a whole bunch of organic matter, because you've got to find a way to get the nutrients in the sandy soil, and also to stabilize that so that it holds some moisture for the roots. And this is the other thing that's really important. I've never taken my soil to get tested, because I know from enough experience that I have mainly clay soil. But you can take soil samples to your state extension office, and get a profile of your soil. And you can also do the pH. I've never done a pH thing. If you wanted to get a little more scientific and really figure out what nutrients is lacking. But really, if you just continue to add the organic material, you're getting a really good base of nutrients from leaves, grass, as long as you're not putting any chemicals on your lawn grass when you mow your grass. All that goes into the compost. all of that because it's nutrient rich. Another thing I wanted to say about doing the layer gardens with the paper or the cardboard on top of grass, the worms are down underneath that grass if you've got, decent soil with worms. And those worms all come to the top and start digesting that grass and creating even more nutrient-rich soil with the worm castings, which brings me to a whole nother subject.
I
I
knew
have a
you were going to get there. I knew it.
very large worm bin in my back, and I've got three sides with pallets and full of soil, and I'm telling you, the worms are a godsend to a gardener, an organic gardener. They'll eat everything. They'll eat cardboard, they'll eat egg cartons, they'll eat unbleached paper, they'll eat every kind of vegetable you throw out there. And so with vermiculture is what it's called, with worms, that can become your main compost. And then if you look up worm castings, like for each little plant you might, like a tomato or pepper, any plants that you're starting in your garden, a tablespoon of worm castings in that hole is enough to feed that. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And so I sell the red wigglers. Those are the composting worms that you really want. Everyone can find night crawlers, but they're not the same. They don't compost as much as the red wigglers do. In fact, red wigglers are what you would use in a composting toilet. And I don't need to say what they eat, but what they create is really, really good food for plants.
We told you we were going to get down and dirty.
We're getting down and dirty. So all animal manure, except for dogs and cats, all farm animal manure is very nutritious to put back into the soil. That's why cow manure, horse, sheep, goat, bat guano,
Vegetarians of the animal world. Nothing that eats meat.
the vegetarians of the animal world. You never want to put meat or dairy in your compost. Everything
No.
else is pretty much a go, but never meat or dairy because that attracts really, really negative bacteria. So, and the really important thing about composting is getting it hot enough to break down the food, to break down the seeds that you put in there from weeds. You can put every weed in your compost as long as it gets hot enough to kill the seeds. That's another really important part of building soil is making sure that your compost is breaking down and it has to have sun. It has to have in some heat in order to break down all the way so that you're not just spreading seeds, from grass, weeds in your grass, weeds in that you might be digging up out of the garden, that can all go in your compost as long as it gets hot enough to kill those seeds.
I'm sure this has happened to you too, Vic. Middle of winter, it's like 15 below, and you look outside at your compost pile and it's steaming, literally steaming. Even when it's that cold, that is a hot compost bed, and that's really what you want. There's a byproduct of compost called compost tea, where you take that loamy soil at the bottom of the pile, and you just dilute it with water, and you can use it as a foliar spray on all of your plants. You can actually feed your plants that way as well, for a little extra boost. Of course, if your soil's really good, you may not need that, but it's always that I always really liked compost tea, and you could just put that right into the soil too.
We have big 50-gallon drum in our back. I live right next door to my daughter, so we co-garden and co-maintain our worm piles and our orchards and stuff. But we take a big bag, like cotton bag, and we put our worm castings in it, and we make worm tea, which is phenomenal. And we do the same thing with it. We spray it on the foliar. It's a foliar fertilizer. And I'm here to tell you really don't need more than that. If you've got that going year after year, you are creating some of the most nutrient-rich food that you can ever find anywhere.
Vicky, can your worms live in your climate outdoors all year long, or do you have to bring them in?
No, they live outside because I put about 8 inches of straw on top of them, and then a bunch of leaves to keep the ground from completely freezing. I mean, they kind of get dormant, but if you are mulching on top of that, and I'm throwing all my compost that I create all winter long on top of all of that. And one important thing about having a worm bin is that you have to have the right ratio of brown and green. You need to put soil in there too, but you need more green than soil. Green is all of your vegetable waste and all of your leaves and all of those kinds of things. And then the brown is actual soil. So I have fed on top of that huge layer of straw and leaves. I just put a whole bunch of dirt in there and watered it down really good so it went through the straw. And now, oh, I dug down in, and they're very, very, very active right now. They're loving it. I put two egg cartons out there, and I put my paper towels out there in my compost from the kitchen. They eat everything. They will decompose everything. You can tear up strips of cardboard that doesn't have any writing or ink on it, and they just munch down on that. It's pretty fascinating. It's really, you just let nature do its thing. They know what to do with the right materials. You don't have to manage anything. You just feed them.
That's the cheapest pet I've ever heard of. The most pets are so expensive to maintain, and they're very handy as well.
Well, we had 25 chickens at one point between my daughter and I. And so we had chicken manure, mixed in the straw. And oh my gosh. But we don't have chickens anymore. We live in the city, which has an allowance for chickens. And we don't have them anymore because after a chicken is 2 years old, they aren't laying anymore. And we did not have the heart to harvest our chickens for meals. We just weren't into that. So we let them live out their lives, but you've got to feed them all winter when there's no foraging in you let them out in the garden and they eat bugs like crazy. They're the best. But we don't live where we can have chickens free range, so we just quit doing that.
Yeah, and I know you at one point you guys also had bees.
We had bees for years, and over this last 5 years, we have not been able to keep the bees alive through the winter. We have tried everything. We've used essential oils, which there's a couple different essential oils you can put in there. We have fed them with sugar. We have done everything to keep. We don't know if it's the mites or if it is some
Could be pesticides that
it pesticides or I don't really want to get
dare
into.
I say chemtrails?
I was just going to say I don't really want to get into the whole chemtrail debate, but they're real and we don't know what they're doing, but we gave up the bees. We have really, really good sources of honey in our valley, which are easy to come by, but I'm telling you, I miss the bees. I really miss them because we have a lot of fruit trees, and oh my gosh, the harvest is so much better when you've got a really good supply of bees, and they know you. We had bees for so long, and I've never been stung with them once. I can walk right up to them, and they're just busy, busy. in and out of the hive in the heat of the summer, and they know you. They get to know you, amazingly enough. They are an amazing creature. But we've kind of narrowed down to gardening, not so much the bees or any animal husbandry that really requires way more than we're willing to do now. And feed is getting more and more expensive for the chickens. You've got to feed them good food during the winter when you're
Yeah,
not
exactly.
producing. So I really want to have chickens again because of the degradation of our chicken population in the US, and what they're doing to the chickens that are coming on board. I don't want to, I'm not even going to eat eggs again.
Yeah. I get
Not
mine
store-bought ones.
I get my eggs from my nephew who lives about an hour north from me. He's got about 5 acres and he has chickens and lambs and goats and he's got a menagerie and I barter with him for kombucha. I just wanted to say one more thing because I noticed that we're getting close to time here. Is, all the things we're talking about gardening, when you love your plants, they know that. You said something about the bees knowing you. Well, so do the plants. And, maybe at one point we can get into some of the biodynamic planting and what Anastasia and the Ringing Cedars talks about loving the seeds and how they know you. And when you love your plants and they love you, the nutrition value goes up. So I think it's a wrap. What do you think, Vic?
I think we're good to go.
All right. Well, I just want to thank everybody for listening in, and we'll be back in 2 weeks, same time, same channel. Again, thanks to all of our friends and family for listening in. Oh, I also wanted to mention if you'd like to support our station, there is a subscription button on our page. We love you all. Thank you. And let's get down and dirty.
One other thing is if you have topics that you would like us to address or something personal to you, send us. I think there's a way they can they send us?
I believe so. If not, we'll get an
We'll
email
figure
address
that
out.
out,
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
we want to be as helpful as we can. And if you live in this neck of the woods of the US, this is our domain, so we're pretty good at figuring out things to do and not to do, which next week, maybe we'll talk a little bit about this season right now and what's going on.
And look forward to future guests too. We'll have other folks on helping us out. Thank you so much, and
All
we'll call
right.
it a day. Have a good one,
Thank
all.
you. Bye-bye, everyone.